Thanks for the time, Marcus. And can you describe, like, here we are, we're less than a week away. You've been here before. The city's buzzing. What is this time of year like as a player in Vancouver?
Well, it's always an exciting time. Gives you butterflies when you know that the season is on to start, and you know that there'll be players cut. So you have that in the back of your mind, and so there's a lot of thoughts going around. But every season is a good opportunity, whether you're a favorite or not. So it's always an exciting time for sure.
What did the preseason in getting ready for the year mean to you? I guess it was different as a younger player, but like, this is a group right now in Vancouver that they've had a rough couple of weeks. They haven't scored a lot of goals. You know, I think we were watching for some lesser lights to step up, and it's been kind of quiet. Can we read too much into the preseason, or is it difficult to flip a switch if you've been struggling?
I mean, I don't know what team they dress. If they try to play with two different squads, it's always tough to judge. But I like to think that you want to go into the regular season with a good feeling and having somewhat some confidence in the team's ability to win. But I'm sure it's a little different now when there's a big generational change in Vancouver, and a lot of younger players are trying to establish themselves as solid NHL players. And I've always said, whether you play in the NHL or you play in the European League, it's easy to step into things when things are not expected out of you, but it's difficult to keep that up when that's your duty. And that's what comes with being a professional and a veteran.
Marcus Naslund, former captain of the Vancouver Canucks, joining us here on the program with Walker and Rintoul, Sportsnet 650. Marcus, on that note, Brock Besser enters his second season after bursting onto the scene last year as a rookie. Opposing teams know about him now. You went through that in your career when they knew you, once you'd established yourself as a scorer. What is the most important adjustment a scorer has to make when he is seeing top D pairings and checking lines?
Well, obviously he's a natural goal scorer, and he knows where to go and what to do when he gets the puck. But goal scoring is a lot of the mental part as well, I think. And when you start struggling, it's easy that you make things harder instead of doing the things that works for you. So I think the best solution is usually just being relaxed and letting all the natural instinct take over. But it's something, if you are a scorer, you got to get used to playing against the best players and playing against the best D pairings and the best defensive players trying to shut you down too. But if you are a good scorer, you usually find ways. You get that one or two chances a night where you do get your quality chances, whether it's on the power play or odd man rushes or the opponent make a mistake. So I'm sure he'll be fine, and it's always a little bit of a grind when you are an offensive player and you're expected to score.
Yeah, because pressure comes with that, Mark, because expectation comes with that, and I think players probably put that on themselves as well. We all know how important confidence is, and everybody says, hey, just be confident. Don't worry about it if you go through a little bit of a slump. Did you ever have times where that waned, where you had to remind yourself of that?
Yeah, for sure, many times. And that's probably one of the hardest things I find is the mind games and all your thoughts, just trying to control them and focus on the right things. It's easy when you're in the flow and the pucks are coming to you and they're hitting the net and all that stuff. But it's trying to get back on the right track when you're struggling. That sometimes is the tough part. Not having those negative thoughts take over and not squeezing the stick too hard. So I think, I mean, a lot. It helps a lot too when you do start getting into the regular season and getting the flow of the games and getting into it again too.
He is Marcus Naslund. He joins us here on the program with Walker and Rintoul, Sportsnet 650. It's the first year in a long time without the Sedins, obviously, and it does feel strange, right? We're in that habit of always seeing them in the lineup. You segued into them, so really, when we put Marcus Naslund alongside the Sedins, it's the first time since 1996 that one of you guys haven't been on this team to start the season. Is it strange for you to envision this team without those two? And can Elias Pettersson kind of step into that void as maybe the next great Swede in this town?
Well, Henrik and Daniel have been the Canuck identity for a long time and have been so accountable for the franchise for pretty much since they came to Vancouver. So it's definitely going to be a tough void to fill, but that's where the new nucleus of players have to find the chemistry and the different roles to look after that. But I'm sure it'll be an adjustment not only for the players but also for the fans not seeing Henrik and Daniel out there. And to the second part of the question, I've only watched Elias play mostly highlights. I haven't watched a whole lot of full games, but I mean, there's no doubt that he's got tremendous skill, and I watched him more as a young player coming up when he played in the same region when I was working for Moto. And I mean, he's got exceptional skill, for him, I think it's just finding the right way here to get on track with his NHL career, and it might take a year or two. There's a lot of examples for that, and some can step in right away and win the Rookie of the Year award. I think he's got talent, God-given talent that not very many players has, and that's obviously something to build on.
Marcus, you talk about the next nucleus of the Canucks stepping up. And when you arrived here, Trevor Linden was here, and then Mark Messier was here. So you had some time before you had to be part of that next nucleus. At what point did you feel comfortable enough that, yes, I can take on the mantle of leadership?
I'm not sure. Maybe right around the time where they started looking upon me as a leader, giving me an assistant captain role, and with some of the veterans leaving the team, then it was my time to take another step and try to be more of a leader. I don't have a specific year in mind, but it'd probably be around the time right before I was named captain. But like you said, I had the fortune of being around great leaders, starting from my time in Pittsburgh playing with Hall of Famers, and then into Vancouver, same thing, playing with guys like Trevor and Messier and high end talents like Pavel and Alex McGillney. So I got a great chance of watching the best players, some of the best players of all time, play and conduct themselves on an everyday basis.
He is Marcus Naslund. He joins Sportsnet 650. It's shaping up, as we referenced earlier, to be a tough year for the Vancouver Canucks in the standings. And that being said, you can get a lot out of those seasons, especially as a young player, even though it doesn't look like it when the points are added up at the end of the year. What did you take out of those tough seasons early in your career with the Vancouver Canucks that years later, Marcus, helped you become a great player?
try to be professional and prepare for every game, even if you're playing for a team that is not having a lot of success. I think everything you put in, you will get something out of later on. But it was a lot of turmoil there for a few years, and coaching changes and players getting traded, and there wasn't a stable environment for a few years there, which also pushed me and some of the other guys that stuck around to try to do what's in our control, and the rest, I mean, you can't worry about that. But it's a lot more fun playing for a team that's winning than losing, that's for sure.
Marcus Naslin joins us here on Sportsnet 650. It's a tricky conversation because the Canucks right now have you know, these groupings of young players, and the league, even from when you retired, is getting younger and younger, and there's more pressure on younger players to be some of your elite. So we can lose patience with some of these guys in their early 20s on Vancouver, Marcus, but then you look at you and you kind of became a good player at 24. You became a star player, we would say, probably at 26. But the league has changed. Is there a happy medium here where we should be patient but also recognize with how the league has changed?
Yeah, I do think you need patience. They're still kids. Some of the young guys coming up, and they're maturing not only as hockey players but as people. I definitely think that you do. You can't put that pressure on a 20-year-old that's coming into the league, whether it's been a first rounder or not. But then, I mean, the nature of the business is that you need to perform as well. So, I mean, there's a fine line, but I do think that if you can give the young guys a stable environment where they can relax and play their game without feeling the fire, the bad fire, so to speak, coming behind them, I think that would help. I mean, some are not as strong mentally either, and you need, like myself, I had a lot of doubt coming into the NHL and playing with and against my idols. So that takes a lot of getting used to as well.
Marcus, you look around the NHL right now, and Andrew referenced the great young players, and so many of them are Swedish. You look at the Norris winner last year in Victor Hedman, and obviously here in town we're talking about Elias Pettersson. Rasmus Dahlin just went first overall. And the more you talk to people who are around international hockey, the more impressed they are with the way Sweden is developing players. What is Sweden doing right now in terms of hockey development that other countries, including the one we're in right now, Canada, could take something from?
It's a tough question for me to answer because I haven't been involved in hockey on that level now for three, four years. But I think we looked, when I was working in hockey here in Sweden, we looked to North America and saw all the good things that the development program were using there, and took bits and pieces from that. But still didn't lose the foundation of the Swedish hockey program, which is to try to build a good team player and have the right mindset and being a good teammate and all that stuff, and then adding on all the skill development and all the other stuff. So I think if you look around and you see those guys that you mentioned, the young guys coming up, now they're all good people, and I think that has a lot to do with, if you look through the years, the guys that have had success coming from Sweden, I think overall they're appreciated by their peers and by their teammates too, and that has something to do with with the Swedish program and the Swedish mentality too, maybe a little bit, but just the way we've been raised here as well.
One of those Swedes was Erik Karlsson, biggest transaction of the NHL summer. Do you have any insight to how his year is going to go playing with what was already a pretty good San Jose Sharks team?
Well, I'm sure he'll do well. I mean, he's talking about having God-given talent, the way he moves and how easy everything looks when he plays the game. It just looks like he's out there playing shinny and having fun. But it'll be really interesting to see having Burns and Karlsson on the same team. I mean, I know when Colorado was in their heyday, they brought in Bork, and they had Bork and Blake. So they had 1-2 punch, and same with Anaheim when they won with Pronger and Niedermayer. So if it clicks and they get the most out of them both, I mean, they have a good opportunity for sure.
He is Marcus Naslund, former Vancouver Canucks captain, as the NHL season gets going in less than a week. Hey, we really appreciate the visit and the time as always. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Great talking to you.